So this morning, we talked about God's will for persistence, and then we're following along with the discussion, obviously, that we have on our theme, God's will for persistence. I did want to go back to this because I'm just doing real high level. We talked about what that looks like in a couple of words. I chose resilience, persistent resilience, and what that looks like for us as Christians. As a reminder, it doesn't mean that you go at life's challenges alone. Rather, it does mean to intentionally depend on God, engaging Him at every turn. Good times and tough times is what resilience means. Persistent resilience is for us as Christians, engaging Him at every step of the way. Then we talked about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean perfection. As a result, we will develop a staying power with the ability to get back up and not stay down. Then we went into Proverbs chapter 24 and 16 that also teaches us that the wicked stumble at times of calamity, asking the question as to why is that? Why is it that the wicked stumble in times of calamity? Well, they got no, and I think I said skin in the game. It's more appropriately stated if I would say they've got no spirit in the game, meaning they are laying up their treasures here physically on earth, but as far as life after, they have no plan. They have no foundation of truth on which to stand. Nothing they do makes sense for now or the hereafter. They scorn instruction and are an evil unto themselves. And then we talked about persistent righteousness and what that looks like and what God's will is for us in righteousness. God's will for righteousness is that for us to pursue it, for us to desire it, praise it, and be a living example of it in every way and every day as part of our sacrifice. Then, of course, we talked about persistent steadfastness. It is God's will for us to be steadfast. And what does that mean? Then, of course, steadfastness shows in our years of continual devotion to God, His will for our lives. And that's a continual, uninterrupted devotion to God. That's what this sustainability looks like for a Christian who is steadfast. A belief that He will deliver us in times of trouble. Persistent steadfastness is a light in a dark world. But like the persistent widow, we must be willing to face resistance, some challenges to try our faith, to show forth our trust in God, the author and finisher of our faith. That then brings us up to the last slide I wanted to share with you, and that is persistent faith. I want to thank Anthony for the selections that he chose, because it really kind of brought us through this entire lesson and gets us to the point of persistent faith. Now, the good news is, I think this is like the last slide. I think there might be one more. So we're almost done. You're hopeful, right? Okay, that's good. Keep hope alive. That's good out there. I like that. Okay, what does persistent faith look like in God's will for our faithfulness? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 through 18. Let's look at that. First and foremost, we have to keep the communication lines open. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And following along, verse 17 through 18. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I like that the scripture teaches us to give thanks, not just in good times, but in all circumstances. Thanksgiving is a hallmark of Christianity. It is something that when we do it, it encourages others. They're often taken back by it, but are influenced by it as well towards the glory of God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, rooted and built, let's see, I'm going to take that back to verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then let's also look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then dropping down to verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And again, that's whatever you do in word or in deed. And then chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly, and there's that word again, in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. It is almost as if we ought to actually look for opportunities to be thankful. There should be no one in our sphere that hasn't had some expression of thanksgiving to them from you for just their being in your world or being a part of your world. We have, at work, we have this thing we called, maybe you've heard of it, motivosity. It's a kind of a gratitude. It's a little, and it's also termed a beacon bucks. And so what you do is you give a little beacon buck. It's about a little dollars, not much to it. But you express some thanks, some gratitude. And I kept thanking people, and I kept thinking, are you on there every day? No, but I always find opportunities to thank somebody. And they're like, how do you do it? Well, before you start your day, I start my day thanking somebody. And for some reason, it's got me top on the leaderboard, but that's neither here nor there. But people start to look at that and be like, wow, I guess, well, how do you, what, they start asking questions. And I said, you know, there's always opportunities to look at a situation and be thankful. Whether someone's helped you out with a problem or you helped them out with a problem so you learned something from it, be thankful for that. Always opportunities for us. And that's, again, it's part of our trait as Christians, to be thankful. Not to lose heart is another way we show persistent faith. Look at Luke chapter 17, verses 22. Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 22, it reads, and he said to the disciples, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not go out or follow them. This is interesting. We talked a little bit about this in our Bible class, about how false teachers and those who will, the wicked who will say, well, where is your God? So this kind of reminds me of the time we had this morning in the Bible class. But you can imagine, after having a relationship with our Lord and Savior, how the disciples, what would happen in their attitude after that? Can you imagine? Someone who was the arbiter of truth, the comfort there with them every day, mentoring them, coaching them, showing them just how to interpret everyday walk of life things with the kind of soundness that the master teacher could deliver. And then he's gone. So put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Think about what that looks like. He's gone. Surely in your heart you would hope that he's coming back before you leave or whatever next is going to happen to you. You're thinking, he'll be back. Yeah, he's coming back. And think about what lesson this is trying to teach us. As we can look back and we study this, the Word of God, and we wonder, when is he coming back? Is it going to be during my time, or is it going to, you know, physically here on earth, or after? For some who need that physical peace, and I think Orlando shared a little bit about this in his feedback this morning, they would be quick to lose heart. Going to church, learning about righteousness, doing this peace, day in and day out, and nothing ever changing. Jesus Christ not coming back. And begin to lose heart. In fact, seeing other family members pass away, and Jesus not coming back, and then the question in the void of that in their lives. Even though we have the truth, it's very easy for us to lose heart. I'd like to read the notes from this, because I thought the notes in my study Bible were kind of interesting here, and it was easier for me to read this than to write them all down. But I thought I'd share with you this perspective, because it's very interesting. Son of Man, right there, we just read 17, verse 22, and it says, for the Son of Man, see this note. It says, one of the days probably means they will no longer see a day when Jesus has already returned to the earth and is with them again. But some take it to mean they will long for the time when Jesus was with them on earth. I would think both could be possible. If I had a chance to interact with the master teacher, comforter, mentor, both could be possible. What a void if he were to leave. What a hope. And what a potential for a loss of heart, right? You will not see it. That says because he will no longer be on earth and will not have yet have returned. Believers should not follow people who claim that Jesus has come in secret or hidden in a hidden way, for he will come in a way that is dramatic. So says this text here. And visible to all. The coming of the kingdom inaugurated by Christ's return will be as bright, unmistakable, and sudden as lightning, just as lightning lights up the sky, all will see it. All that you've ever hoped for or had faith in will come to fruition when Jesus returns. We will all see it. So I thought that was interesting the way they wrote that in the study Bible here. Persistent faith means remaining faithful. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Did I miss one? Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed one. Being persistent. Let's look first at Luke chapter 11. Got a little ahead of myself there. Persistent faith means being persistent. So that's probably why I had said that, and then I thought maybe I mentioned it. But Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. In fact, I think I want to take that up a little bit. Let's look at actually, let's go as far back as 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet, now this will be the reason why he does. It says here, yet, because of his impudence, it's an interesting word, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. What's that word impudence mean? Persistent, right? That's more than persistent. That's pretty bold persistent. Hey, I got a friend coming over. You got to give me some... Hey. It's unyielding. It's shamelessly bold. That's what that word is. And for that, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Look at the rest of what that teaches us. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. I like these... how the Bible teaches. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, you can go to God in prayer, but there's stuff you got to do to show forth your faith. This is more than just praying for it. And even this prayer isn't an optional one. Think about your attitude when you pray. Do you pray? Does it appear optional? You think, well, God, yeah, be your will. Kind of. Please, kind of. 6 months later, you're praying the same prayer. Instead of daily, intently. With, the word says, impudence. So it's something for us to think about, our prayer attitude. Does your prayer appear optional? Does it appear weak, not convincing, lacking faith? God requires us to have an intentional engagement with him along the lines of those things we ask for. That is what persistent faith looks like. Now then, let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Persistent faith means remaining faithful. Remaining faithful. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good. Let's stop there for a minute. Think about what that means. Why would you grow weary of doing good? Well, it's not always well received, is it? Your good actions and what it takes to do that good thing, sometimes there's sacrifice involved in doing good to and for others, in spite of others. And depending on your heart and who's getting the glory, it should be God, by the way, lest you get caught up in your own pride of what you think is good and or how you think you should be rewarded for being good. Nah, nah. And it's interesting. This is, I have this kind of conversations when I'm doing some candid coaching with my employees. And I said, well, you have to do this good thing. Well, why? So-and-so is not doing it. No, again, we're not talking about anyone maybe necessarily. You know, we're a part of any organized religion, if you will. Okay? Their attitude's different. Well, why? Well, do good because it's the right thing to do. Well, they've never done anything for me. That's not the requirement. But if you think that way, then you can get tired of doing good real quick. And tomorrow's Monday. I look away now. That's free. I won't charge you for that. Yeah, do good on Mondays. Yeah, not just the weekends when you don't actually see your employees. There's free. Yeah, do good on Mondays. But the scripture teaches us, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to just Christians. Did you see that scripture? Is that what that reads? Because it don't say that. It says, let us do good to, you know, those who are good to us. No? Let us do good. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to read this. Let us do good to good people. Because they're good people. It's easy. Let us do good. Oh, let me. Just to the pretty people. That what? No. Don't say that either. No. Let us do good just to those. Let's see, the Bible teaches, let us, when we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. So with that will come some nasty people, some not so good people, some people that are literally ugly to the core, cut you off in traffic on Monday. Relatable. The word of God has to be relatable, right? So, everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. They said, well, yeah, but everyone? Well, what about so-and-so? He stole from me. Or they did me wrong in this way or that. What about that? Like if I don't do anything to them, I haven't done bad to them. See how we rationalize it in our headspace? I just won't do anything. It's not like I'm doing bad to them. I just won't do anything at all. We call that passive aggressiveness. Maybe you're giving them the silent treatment. So because you can't do good, you just won't do anything at all. That's not the caveat. That's not what the Bible teaches us. So for those of you who are using that tactic so that you don't do bad, that's not good. You know? But let's look at that. That's pretty deep. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because I can tell you that example, because I'm guilty of it. Like, if you don't want my good, I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to give you anything. We're done here. I'm a cave dweller. Do you know what I mean by cave dweller? Yeah. Had several times my wife has had to pull me out of that cave. The silent treatment. Oh, okay. Is that what we're doing? Fine. Not a good look. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let's let the Bible teach. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Look at verse 20. It says, let the thief no longer steal, But rather, let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. Hold on. So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Wait a minute. See, there's redemption in Christianity. There's forgiveness. If you typecast somebody for the wrong they've done to you or they've done in life, meaning they're only ever as good as their last mistake, that is not what God teaches us to do. That's an opportunity to grow spiritually and understand what forgiveness looks like. But there are some people that are like that. And especially the loyalty some people have toward others. Maybe they never even stepped on your toe, but they stepped on your friend's toe and so forth. Yeah, I don't like them. Well, why not? Well, they back in 19, they stepped on my friend's toe and had a hard time telling them I'm sorry. And then, you know, so I don't like them. So it wasn't your toe they stepped on? No. No, but I still don't like them. We can get caught up, can't we? Scripture teaches us those two wrongs won't make this situation right. This won't get you to a point where you can love everyone, as the Bible teaches us. This is what persistent faith looks like. So, your persistence. What is God's will for your persistence? Number one is to never give up. Because all of that stuff I mentioned makes being a Christian tough sometimes. There's people that just could care less what you believe. They care less about your righteousness. They care less about all that you're doing to be not only a good person here on earth and good to everyone, but to make heaven your home. They don't have that sort of vision. They don't have that sort of care. And God has asked you to, called you to be different. While those people are still here and living amongst us. Okay? And for it, it can try our faith. It can try us and help, cause us to lose heart. But persistence, by God's will, is not to give up, but to, in fact, keep the faith. Luke chapter 18:8, which is our scripture reading, and I'm just going to look at that again, because, and then the lesson will be yours. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Now, after the parable, which, by the way, is not an actual widow, it's a parable to teach a lesson about persistence, to teach a very good lesson about what it means to be persistent, to be resilient, to be faithful, to be steadfast, by God's definition, not by our own. So after sharing this parable, Jesus says, well, he delay long over them. In verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? If all of these things are God's will for what faith looks like, will he find you faithful? Will you be ready? There's work to do. There's work to do as Christians to keep our head in the game, to have the right attitude, to deal with life circumstances, not lose heart, be kind to everyone. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And thank God for the example of Christ. He could ask this question. Thank God for the confidence that we can have from following him, we can be confident in the answer, and that would be yes. He can find us faithful. If just from his example, if just from the words that we've read here, our desire for righteousness will find us faithful when he returns. I hope this lesson was encouraging to you. Certainly was to me to write it. I just I've learned so much from just one little area of focus for the week. And this week it was your persistence as it relates to God's will. And I just certainly hope that it encouraged you and can help you get through this week. If there is anyone who has need, I encourage you to come as we together stand and sing the song that's selected.